on blue velvet. David said, his word is a lamp unto my feet. It is a light unto my path. It is a word that can make you wise about salvation. It is a word that can build you up, make you strong, and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. It is a word that will be your comfort in your sorrow. It'll be your hope in your stay. It'll show you that Jesus is the lily of the valley. He's the bright in the morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. If you have your personal copy this morning of the world's bestseller, I want to call your attention to two places, two scriptural sites. And the first site is John chapter 10, the gospel according to John, the 10th chapter and the 10th verse. And the second place is Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 4. John 10:10 is the first place, and the second place is Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 4. You have that, say amen. And the word of the Lord reads, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly." And then if you will go with me to the book of Galatians, chapter is number 5, and the verse is number 4. You have that, say amen. And the word of the everlasting God reads, "Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace." Now, using those combined readings today, I want to talk for a little while from the subject, thriving under the influence. Thriving under the influence. I'm sure this morning that you've heard the statement, driving under the influence. Or DUI. And I know you've also heard the statement DWB, driving while black. And if you are black, you just can't help that, can you? Amen. Well, we know that automobiles and alcohol are not a good combination. And if you are consuming alcohol, you get behind the wheel of a car, there's a real possibility that you will be arrested for driving under the influence, or DUI. And when you are under the influence of alcohol, then you are compromising your personal power and your personal safety. Because there's a real sense that you may injure or hurt yourself, or you may hurt someone else. All 50 states have DUI statutes and laws, and all 50 states criminalize people who drive under the influence. But this morning, I don't want to talk about driving under the influence. I want to talk about thriving under his influence. And the influence I'm talking about is thriving under the influence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the word influence means to affect something, to affect someone. It means to sway one. It causes one to change his thinking or his actions by argument, by personality, force of personality, or by example. And all of us are influenced by somebody. All of us are influenced by someone. Make no mistake about it. The Bible even talks about, and you've heard the statement, that he or she is coming under a bad influence. And the Bible supports this idea because in 1 Corinthians 15:33, the Bible said, "Be not deceived, for evil company corrupts good morals." So the company you keep, the people you run with, can influence you. And the Bible also supports the idea that it is possible to come under bad influence. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, "Be not conformed to this world." Don't allow this world to influence your thinking. Don't allow this world to bend your mind into its mold, but rather you should come under the influence of the Lord and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And either we're under the Lord's influence or we're under the world's influence. Now, the word thrive, it means to grow rapidly, it means to grow vigorously. To thrive means to be successful and profitable. Now, all of us today want to thrive. Is that not right? You don't want to merely survive. Don't you want to thrive? Yes, we want to thrive. And instead of being out there driving under the influence, you ought to be T-I-U. Is that right? T-U-I. Thriving under the influence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this morning, I want to talk about two things with you. This morning, I want to talk about number one, because I think perhaps we've lost sight of this. I want to talk about, this is the church of Christ, isn't it? The church you can read about in the Bible, isn't it? The blood-bought church. The Holy Spirit church. The hell-proof church. Is that right? The bride of Christ. Amen. But I want to talk about, perhaps in many people's lives, the significance of the life of Christ is lost on many people. So the first thing I want to talk about is the significance of the life of Christ. That's the first point. And the second point is thriving under his influence. Thriving under his influence. Now, when we look at this, the significance of the life of Christ in the New Testament, the gospel account, we have one gospel, yet four accounts of it. And the only real authentic sources of historical and biographical information that we have about the life of Jesus is found in the New Testament. But that was a great sermon preached one day by a name named James Francis Allen. And in that sermon, he talked about the real Jesus. And in that sermon, he talked about the impact of a single solitary life. Went on to point out that he was born in an obscure village. He was born to a peasant woman. He grew up in another village. He worked in a carpenter's shop until he was 30 years old. After his 30th year, he became an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book. He never owned a home. He never had a family. He never went to college. He never put his foot in a big city. He never went more than 200 miles from the place that he lived. But when he was young, the tide of public opinion turned against him. His friends deserted him. One of them denied him. He went through the mockery of a trial, and he was nailed on the cross between two thieves. And yet he said, yet I speak well when I say that all of the armies that have ever marched, all of the navies that have ever been built, all of the parliaments that have ever sat, all of the kings who have ever reigned, none of them put together has had the impact on this world than the single life, the solitary life of this man called Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has made an impact like no one else has ever made. But the question is, has he made an impact on you? Does he impress you enough that you want to follow him? Many people don't understand how huge Jesus is. Jesus is a global Lord. He's global. He's given us a worldwide commission that includes all nations and every individual. Is that all right? Jesus Christ is the greatest historical figure of all time. But what is so amazing about Jesus is, even though he is an international, global savior, he still has a personal relationship with each and every one of us. You see, Jesus doesn't get so big he can't deal with you individually. You know, some for when they blow up, they ain't got time for you. Is that right? But that's not the case with Jesus. Even though he is a global Lord, he is our personal Lord and Savior. Is that all right? Because Jesus is my Lord and my Savior because of what he did for me. And he came that I could thrive under his influence. He makes this clear by his mission statement in John 10:10. He said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, the devil doesn't care if you are tore up from the floor up. He doesn't care about tearing up your life, because his mission is a threefold agenda, and his mission is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus' mission is, I've come for you. You might have a life that is more abundant. But I'm afraid so many, you got more people interested in driving under the influence than thriving under the influence. You have more people interested in liquor than they are in Jesus. But I'm saying this morning that Jesus came. And here's the second point in this lesson. Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Here's the second point, final point, and that is thriving under his influence. Some people, you look around the world today, you look at the news, and of course sometimes it shocks you when you think about what's going on in people's lives. And sometimes you have to say to yourself, what in the world were they thinking? I tell you, this world will influence you. This world will get inside your head. This world will get inside of your heart. And it'll make you do things where your mama won't even know you. Is that all right? But Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. I'm afraid this morning that some people's lives are living their lives under the influence of alcohol. Is that all right? And sometime when you go to the club, you hear last call for alcohol. And somebody will say, Brother Miles, how you know? Don't worry about how I know. Is that all right? But I know they get a last call for alcohol. And some people, you know, they say, okay, I have one more round before I go. They are more concerned about life, they living their life under the influence of alcohol. There are some people more concerned about living their lives under the influence of drugs. We see how people, celebrities, are destroying their lives because of the influence and the power of drugs. It appears that some people can't beat the demons of crack and cocaine and marijuana. But I tell you, Jesus can set you free. He came for your life. He came to help us. And there's no drug stronger than Jesus. No whiskey stronger than Jesus. If you want to be free, the Son can make you free and cause you to thrive under His influence. Some people are living under the influence of the world and the devil. Amen. And they go along with what the crowd say. But you know, the crowd has never been right about nothing. Hello? Because Jesus said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. But broad is the gate and wide is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Is that all right? But Jesus came that we might have a better life. And the text in Galatians 5, brother, hit it, run over there and read it again. Galatians 5 and verse 4. I want to ask you, what kind of impact is Jesus having on your life? Hello? Are you thriving under the influence? Huh? You know, when you drink so much liquor, and I know y'all ain't no sipping saints. I know better than that. Amen. But you know, when you have to pass what's called a field sobriety test. Huh? Amen. Because you under the Spirit, but it ain't the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So the question I raise this morning is, what kind of impact or effect is Jesus having on your life? Read for Galatians 5, verse 4 again. What did it say, Brother Hillary?
Christ has become of no
Christ effect. Is become of
no effect.
No effect
unto you.
Unto you. If I say I'm a child of God, whatever I go through, Jesus said, I will never leave you. Nor will I forsake you. So whatever you're going through on your job, in your home, with your health, your finances, if you're having trouble with finance or romance, and some people say, usually you have trouble with romance if your finance ain't right. Amen. But whatever your situation is, Jesus is supposed to help us. If I say I'm a New Testament Christian, does it affect how I live? Read that A part of that verse once again, Brother Hillary.
Christ is become of no effect.
Of no effect
unto you.
If you cussed like a sailor before you got saved, you ought at least be cutting down on your cussing. Hello, y'all. You ought not be cussing at all. Hello, y'all. But I try. I got to keep it real. I know Rome wasn't built in a day. at least you're moving in the direction of holiness. Amen. You got mad at folks and wouldn't forgive folks before Jesus came in. Because if Jesus is having an effect on us, we even look at how we deal with our enemies differently. Because Jesus said concerning our enemy, he said, love your enemies. Didn't he say that? Jesus said, do good. I know it's hard, church, but it's fair because Jesus said it. He said, do good unto them that despitefully use you and abuse you. Is that correct? And so let's think about it. Let's think about his invitation. Jesus invites us to come to him in order that he might influence us. And let me tell you, everybody want to influence you. What do you think political campaigns are all about? Why do you think people spend so much money on political advertising? Why do you think now that the government says to churches, you cannot endorse a political candidate, or you may lose your nonprofit status? Because it's all about the influence. Because the world wants to end. Why do you think Walmart and corporations spend so much money to get us to think in their way? Because they want to influence you. The church should influence us. So Jesus says, he gives a great invitation in Matthew 11:28. And let's just think about a few elements in that invitation. First of all, he says, come unto me. Come unto me. And he wants you to come unto him so he can influence you. Is that all right? He wants to get close to you in order for you to thrive. No matter where you are, Jesus said, I can help you. No matter what you're going through, I can help you. Amen. And then he said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you. The second thing in the invitation, he says, take. Take my yoke upon you. That is, hook up with me. Align yourself with me so that I can influence you, so that you can thrive under my influence. Watch it. Come, take, learn. He says, learn of me, or learn from me. In other words, you can't make anybody learn, but you can teach. Is that all right? And we can learn from Jesus because he is our skillful and able teacher who's willing to teach us. So you come where I can influence you. You take where I can influence you. Learn. I mean, if we're learning what the Bible teach, shouldn't it be influencing us? Hello? Or else aren't we doing it in vain? If we're hearing the word, shouldn't the word influence us? If we're in Bible school, shouldn't the word influence us? If we're reading the word, shouldn't it influence us? Isn't the theory of education is that if you can open a man's mind and improve the quality of his thinking, you can change his life. The Bible says, God says, I will teach you of my ways and you will walk in my paths. Is that all right? All right, watch it. The invitation, come, take, learn. Here's the fourth element, follow me. Jesus said, come unto me, take from me, learn from me. Then what? Follow me. You see that? Now, Brother Wynn read so beautifully from 1 Peter, and it says this. Watch this. He says, for hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. Now watch this word, example. It's a Greek word, and it's the word hupogrammos, and it literally means to write under. How many of y'all remember? I know it probably been a while. when you was in kindergarten? Can your mind go back that far? Are you drawing a blank? How many of y'all remember the cornbread tablets? Remember those? How many remember those big number two pencils with the number two? Those big old fat pencils. You remember those? How many of you remember when you were trying to learn how to write your ABCs? You know, some of my kids wrote their letters backwards. Did you do that? You ain't gonna admit it today, are you? You had the perfect ABC, the perfect script. And what you had to do was to learn how to write those letters. So you wrote under. Well, when Jesus said, I've left you an example, I've put my life before you so that you can write your life. I'm leaving some space for you where you can write the story of your life under my example. But let's think about something. What good is an example if nobody will follow it? Hello? We tell the men in the church, be examples for the young men, because people are looking at you. We tell the women in the church, be an example for the young women. Help them to live quality lives. Is that right? Don't stand on a corner and talk about them. Be an example for them. You know, anybody can serve on the wrecking crew, but it takes skill to build up. Jesus has left us, and I'm going to show you how to do it. He's left, but what good is an example if I don't follow it? Is that right? Look at his example, and this is a question we got to ask. You know, sometimes folks be saying, well, the Bible don't condemn this, but a greater question is, what would Jesus do? Because he is our, that's the one I'm following. Jesus wants a personal relationship with me. So now watch it. Here's the invitation. The invitation is, come unto me. Take from me. Learn from me. Follow me. Now watch this. Because he's going to influence us in three critical areas of our lives. Let's think about it. Write these three areas down. These three critical areas of our lives are thinking, number one, truth, number two, future, number three. Now let's take some time and think about those three concepts. Thinking. Jesus not only teaches me, Jesus wants my head and my heart. Are you listening? Because you can't come, you can't take, you can't learn, and you can't follow without thinking. You gotta think to come. You gotta think to take his yoke upon you. Is that right? You gotta think to learn. You ever learn anything you didn't think about? Absolutely not. And you gotta think to follow. But let me share something with you. And you probably already know, because I know you're able Bible student. But do you not know that in the New Testament, Jesus asked almost 300 questions. 300 questions. He's bigger than the stock market. Jesus is bigger than the stock market. He asked the question, what would it profit you if you gained the... And you, that make you think. That makes you think. I think about that. What if I become a billionaire, Brother Hartley? But in the end, I lose my soul. What have I gained? I was a prominent doctor. very successful, very smart, very intelligent doctor. Well, you know, life has a way of humbling us. No matter how high you get, God can bring you down. Is that all right? Well, this doctor was doing well in his career, and one day he was stricken with cancer. He said, now, and this is what's so amazing about it, how great God is. He said, I tried all of the conventional therapies and strategies for healing cancer, and I didn't get well. One day, he said, he met a hippie. He was dying, Brother Milton. And he said, I began to look at that verse, that question when Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? He said, I began to look at that verse or that question from a whole new perspective. But he said he picked up this hippie. And he said, for some strange reason, he shared with a total stranger that he had cancer. And the hippie said to, oh, doc, that's easy to cure. And he said, now this hippie telling me, a medical doctor, that cancer is easy to cure. And he said, doc, all you got to do is go on the macrobiotic diet, which emanates out of China, where you get rid of all the fat and sugars and stuff and start eating whole grain foods and vegetables, fermented foods. And he said, doc, in a little while, the cancer be gone. Get out of my car. Watch this. Drove on down the road. Thought about what the guy said. God is so great. He can bring some to you from such strange places. And do you not know this doctor, like Naaman of Syria, went down to Syria, wanted to be healed. And the man of God said, go dip 7 times in the Jordan River and you will be healed. Naaman went away in a rage. Surely I thought he would come out, strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Then the maid said, oh, great man of God, if the prophet had told you a great thing to do, wouldn't you have done it? She said, why not do it and be healed? Naaman went down to the Jordan River, dip 7 times, and was healed. This doctor said, I decided I'm dying anyway. What do I have to lose? So he tried the macrobiotic diet. And guess what? Guess what? Y'all didn't hear me. Guess what? He was healed from his cancer. Jesus makes you think. He's my Lord. He helps me to thrive because he makes me think. He makes me think about my life, about my decisions. Is that right? And then Jesus helps me with truth. Because let me tell you something. You can't never thrive if you don't adjust your attitude toward truth. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when we at first practice to deceive. You'll never be free dealing in lies. You will never thrive dealing in lies. Hello? Because Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then he makes it so beautiful. You might ask, well, what is the truth? Jesus said, I am the truth. Lord, have mercy. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to God but by me. I want to thrive under his influence. And then the third thing is thinking, truth, and then future. Now here's what Jesus says to us. Jesus said, I want you to enjoy life. Anybody having a good time? Anybody having a good time? Anybody enjoying your life in here today? Anybody in the house happy you alive? Jesus wants you to enjoy your life. But watch this. But he says, there's something I want you to do for yourself, for your future. A critical thing I want you to do for yourself, for your future. He said, I want you. What's that critical thing he wants you to do? He said, I want you, watch this, to lay up treasures for yourself in heaven. That's your future. You know why? Listen, because we brought, you ever see a U-Haul behind a hearse? We brought what? Nothing into this. And it is certain we can carry, but we can send something ahead. The old folks used to say, I'm sending up my timber. Is that all right? So Jesus said, I want you to prepare for your future by laying up. I want you to thrive right now. I'm going to make you think quality. I want you to pursue the truth. But I want you to also don't get so caught up in living. You're 9 to 5 trying to get your degree. Hollering at baby sister. And hollering at baby boy. That you forget about. You need to lay up some treasures for yourself. I said for yourself. Where, Brother Moss? In heaven. Because sooner or later, we all got to get up out of here. Are you listening? Sooner or later, every one of us got to get up out of here. So in conclusion today, let's do this. I want to compare. You have your Bibles. Let's do this quickly. Brother Hillary, turn to Galatians for me. And there are two passages. I want to contrast these two passages. I want everybody here to just think about and put your name in this place. I want to contrast Galatians 2:20 and Galatians 5:4. And you'll know whether you're thriving under his influence or you're driving under the influence. Hello? Hello? Watch it now. Now, I want you to read Galatians 2:20 first. What does it say?
I am crucified with Christ.
I am crucified with Christ.
Nevertheless,
I live. So how many in here got saved? Y'all scared to say that? If anybody got saved, the people of God did. Isn't that right? How many got saved? All right. Now, after you get saved, you live a life after salvation. Is that right? Is that right? Do you live the same way you were living before salvation, after salvation? Well, you shouldn't, should you? Read, Brother Hillary. And the life. Read.
Yet not I. But Christ liveth in me.
Come on.
And the life.
Here it is. And the life.
Which I now live.
Now think about that for a moment. The life. Which I now live. Am I sneaking around doing stuff? Because one thing about it, they cannot catch you at a place you didn't go. Hello? If you ain't there, they can't catch you. Huh? Now, if you anywhere and you got to duck and peep and run across the road, then you know you doing something you ain't got no business. Hello, y'all. The life that I now. Well, Brother Ryan, they got a $565 million Powerball lottery. It's gone. Where they had. How many tickets y'all bought? Well, you, Brother Moss, you know I ain't buying no ticket. Sure you didn't. But now, didn't it cross your mind? Remember where you are. Now, it ain't crossed my mind. Okay. That ain't the only thing you lying about. Is that all right? And so if I'm at the casino, hello, trying to get over. Is that all right? The life that I now live in the flesh. Read it, Brother Hillary.
And the life?
The life.
Which I now live in the flesh.
Which is night. It's April the 1st, 2012. The life that I now live. Read, Brother Hillary.
I live by the faith of the Son of God.
Of the Son of God.
Who loved me.
How many can say this morning, I live right now by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me? Yes, he did. And he gave himself for me. Is that all right? Now let's contrast that with Galatians 5:4. Watch this now. I want you to see this contrast. What does Galatians 5:4 say? Read it.
Christ is become
of no effect
unto you.
Now watch this. Christ is of no effect, and the life that I now live. Do you see that? Christ has become of what? I've been baptized, but I'm living just like I used to live. I was low down before I went out in the water. And when I came up out of the water, I was still low down. Is that all right? I was mean, and I didn't help nobody when I went down in the water. And when I came up out of the water, I'm still mean and I'm low down. Is that all right? Well, the best way you can contrast whether I'm thriving under his influence is to look at, let every man do what? Examine him. How many got the abundant life this morning? How many got the abundant life this morning? Because I'm supposed to have the abundant life. Is that all right? I ought to be able to say, in sorrow, he's my comfort. Trouble, he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. Is that all right? He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and the morning star. He's fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Is that all right? I know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is that all right? I know that Jesus Christ is the Lord of all. I know that Jesus Christ is the Lord of the rolling centuries. I know that Jesus Christ, he is the inhabitant of eternity. Jesus Christ is the firstborn of every creature. Is that all right? Jesus Christ is the light of lights. Jesus Christ is the poet of poets. Is that all right? Jesus Christ is wisdom's oration. Jesus Christ is the wheel in the middle of the wheel. Is that all right? Jesus Christ is the extra that makes my life worth living. And I'm so glad this morning that he came a mighty, mighty, mighty long way to help me to thrive. Is that all right? Jesus came down through 42 generations to help me to thrive. Is that all right? Jesus came from heaven's adoration to help me to thrive. Jesus came from heaven's coronation to help me to thrive. Is that all right? If anybody wanna see me make it, it's the Lord. Is that all right? Lord said, I didn't bring you this far to leave you. Is that all right? I hear him whispering, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Is that all right? Somebody ought to say, be with me, Lord. I cannot live without you. I dare not try to take one step alone. I cannot bear the loads of life unaided. I need your strength to lean myself upon. Is that all right? I tell you, he came a mighty, mighty, mighty long. And sometimes, church, you may have to go up the rough side of the mountain. Is that all right? But God, he'll be with you. Whether you're going up the rough side of the mountain, or whether you're going through the valley and the shadow of death, or in the hall of sickness, Jesus said, I'm going to let you thrive because I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Is that all right? And I want to thrive. I don't want to drive under his influence, but I want to thrive. Remember one day, I'll leave you with this. I was stopping to get some gas. And I went inside to pay for it. And there was a brother who was a member of the body. He didn't see me come in. He had his six-pack on the counter. I came on in. I didn't say nothing. And by the time he saw me, he took the six-pack and put it in the bubble can stand and bought him some bubble gum. I still didn't say nothing. But his own conscience, I didn't say a word. When you thrive, listen, when we really thrive under the influence of Jesus Christ, we can live with a clear conscience. That's one of the blessings of being in the Lord. And that's why I like, as we extend the invitation, why the Lord offers us every Sunday to have a clear conscience. If you've fallen short this week and you've sinned, you've done something you're not proud of, the Lord said, you don't have to stay there. I want you to thrive. I don't want you burdened down with unnecessary guilt. I don't want you burdened down with unnecessary baggage. It's enough baggage in life. Is that right? So why in the world should I add the baggage of unconfessed sins to the load of life? So the Lord says to me, if I confess my sin, he's faithful, he's just to forgive me. If there's a lot going on in my life right now, amen, because there are some things going on in my life, I got to admit my heart is heavy. I'm operating on a heavy heart. But the Lord is able, amen. My family, we operating on a heavy heart. But guess what? Guess who's helping us to make it? The same one who helped us time and time and time again. And wherever you are, the Lord will help you to make it. And you know why he'll help you to make it? Because he came that I might thrive. Don't just be living. Don't just say, I'm okay, I'm all right. You ought to be thriving. Because that's yours. If the state of Alabama sent you a letter and said you had unclaimed $5,000, would you say, oh, that's all right, y'all keep it? Would you say that? If you would, come on down here to the front seat. We're going to pray a special prayer for you this morning. You need a special prayer. Is that right? What would you do? You would take the necessary steps to claim what is rightfully yours. And I'm saying to you as I close, Sister Powers, it's just wonderful to see you this morning. God bless you. Elena, good to see you. You claim what is rightfully yours. And what's yours is Jesus said, I came to take your life to another level. Amen. I came that you might not just live, but thrive. How can you know when you thrive? Number one, you can know you're thriving when you are having victories over the devil. We got to admit, sometimes the devil wins. Let's keep it real here. You can know that you're thriving when you are steadfast, standing your ground. You can know that you're thriving when the fruits of the Spirit are manifesting themselves in your life. Is that right? And you can know then that I don't want to drive under the influence. I want to thrive under the influence. Stand on your feet. That's the message. If you're not a child of God, you can become one by hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Christ, being baptized, and then you can thrive under the influence. It's prayer time now. Anybody need prayer this morning? Invitation time. Anybody need anything this morning? Are you thriving? Are you all right this morning? What do you need this morning? The Lord is saying, may I help you? How can I help you? Is that right? And he says, cast all your care where? Why? Because I care for you. Amen. So if you're here today, this is his invitation. Are you thriving under his influence? Brother Moss, I'd like to. Right now I'm not, but I really would like to. And I want this great church to pray for me. Amen. At last and my Savior and my surrender would he that sacred for such a word as I. Oh, at the cross, at where I first saw, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there I received. Oh, now I am happy all the day. Oh, at the cross where I first and the burden rolled away, it was there by I received my oh, now I am happy all the day.